Hello, this is Choices, and this is Judy Mario. Thank you for joining me today as we talk about the art of business entertaining. Listeners, as you know, I like to talk about what it is that you ask for, and this particular subject was a request from Ron in Kansas City. And so, Ron, this show is for you, and listeners, it's for any of you that are really interested in finding out about business entertaining, because there are very few business ventures today that don't require some form or some degree of entertaining, and this can be a really enjoyable experience, or it can be an absolute nightmare, depending upon your level of expertise and your comfort with entertaining business guests. So I congratulate you on tuning in today, because this tells me that you are interested in knowing how to be better at entertaining in the business arena. And we know you want to appear poised and you want to appear gracious at all times. And even if you're a man, you want to be poised and gracious. And so we have to think about ourselves as an ambassador. We're an ambassador in the workplace, and we represent our companies. And, of course, we represent ourselves. That's why it's so often the little things that count. The things that may seem irrelevant or insignificant compared with major tasks presented to us on a daily basis. But no matter what business we're in, it isn't what we do that will determine our success, but how we do it. And that means how we interact with others, because life in business is all about managing relationships. People tend to be very sensitive about how they perceive they've been treated. Huh, aren't we all? Their perception will be based on a number of things. The spoken word, the written word, the body language of the person who's working with them, the attitude that that person displays, the attention to detail in any arrangements that were made for them, the respect that was demonstrated to them, the understanding that is exhibited, and we have so many opportunities to impress others and make them feel special in so many ways. So it's very important that we learn how to make other people feel important. That's the biggest secret to being successful at business entertaining, making the other person feel important. Businesses are often judged by the people who come into contact with them in terms of the small things they do or they don't do, whether they acknowledge receipt of a letter, whether they return a telephone call, if they keep appointments, if they're punctual. And so many people don't realize the importance of being on time. I used to have a business partner that was late just about everywhere we went, and she got to where she made me late because I was waiting on her to go with me. So I finally got to the point that I just said, I'm going and you catch up with me, because it does not look good to be late. And I believe if you're not early, you're late, because you need to get there early and be prepared. And that's one of the big things in business entertaining. Learn to be early. It's little things that have made ordinary people really great. And there are five very powerful concepts, words, and phrases that are very effective tools for business communication. The first one is a smile. And that's the part of making that positive and powerful first impression. You know, first impressions are very, very important, because if you don't make a good first impression, you might not get a chance to make a second impression. So remember to make your first 10 words count. The most effective way to open any interaction is to send a message of thanks, such as, thank you for making the time to meet with me this morning, Mr. Jones, or it is a pleasure to finally meet you in person, and use the person's name. These are excellent thanks messages for first-time meetings, and you can also use this rule effectively with people you already know. Thank you for taking the time to meet with me, Barbara. Or Susan, thank you for suggesting we meet. Or Ron, it's so great seeing you again. See, admit it, most of us tune in to when we hear our name. We all like to hear our name. And so we want to make those first 10 words count. Another thing you can do to make a good first impression is to tune in to others. And that's the part about wearing that smile. Wear a smile, make eye contact, because remember, your expression conveys your level of energy, your level of motivation, or if you're depressed and unmotivated. So consider, do you like to meet with someone who looks as if they had a bad night or they're not really interested? I mean, wouldn't you rather meet with somebody who has a smile on the person's face, they have a twinkle in their eye, they seem to be happy and vibrant, they're confident, and they respond positively? Yes, of course you do. And so we need to do that as well. The third thing on making a positive first impression is to walk with a purpose. Whether you're walking into the building or you're on your way to meet clients, put some bounce into your step and move with vigor and vitality. Most of us enjoy being around high-energy people. Try walking at the end of a long day with the same high energy that you had early in the morning, just like when you were beginning your day. Other people will notice that. They'll notice that you are bouncing along. People say to me all the time, how do you have that much energy? Well, it's because I make a point to have that much energy. The fourth thing about making a first impression that's very, very important is to be impeccably groomed. Keep your hair neat and in a fashionable style that flatters the shape of your face. Wear your appropriate amounts of jewelry to the event or the situation. Wear shirts that fit properly. With men, you can use the one-finger test when buying shirts to make sure that the shirt fits properly. Just place your index finger between the collar and your neck. If there's enough room to slip your finger comfortably into that space, then that means it fits right, and you're going to be less compelled to unbutton that top button. And start off on the right foot. Give the same attention to your shoes that you do to your hair and clothing. I notice that in today's business world, so many people don't polish or maintain their shoes. You want your shoes to look new, to look like you've really been taking care of them. And women should always be aware of the poor impression that's made when they're not wearing stockings for business or when their stockings have a run in them. So keep an extra pair of stockings in your desk just in case you need them. I guess today we call them pantyhose, don't we? And then please know that most women love to see a little leg, but not when you're wearing trousers. Wear your socks that cover your calves when seated. That's very, very important. So that's all a part of making a really good first impression. And then pay attention to the words you use, like please and thank you. I'm sorry. It was my fault. Business success hinges on knowing what makes people tick. Understanding and meeting business expectations of the significant people in your business environment ensures not only success, but contentment. People like to be treated as they want to be, not as you want to be treated. That's now called the Platinum Rule. Tony Alexander wrote a fabulous book, and he says the Golden Rule is where you treat other people as you would like to be treated, but the Platinum Rule is when you treat other people as they would like to be treated. So think about those significant people in your business environment, people like your boss, your colleagues, your customers, clients, other contacts, subordinates. It's very important for you to treat them as they would like to be treated. Excuse me. And now as we move into the entertainment part, Ron, that you've asked about, when we talk about entertaining colleagues and potential clients or being entertained by them, Well, you know, it can be a very agonizing experience, or it can be a really fun experience. And anytime you get promoted to a managerial position, it may be one of the first social roles you have to play, because they'll give some type of a cocktail party or some kind of a special meeting in order to introduce you or to tell about your promotion. So however nervous you might feel inside, don't let it show on your face. Don't let it show through your actions. See, entertaining can be a pleasant experience, and it doesn't have to be trying. Just remember to be natural. A bit of care and consideration toward those other people is very important. Remember, we always want to make those other people feel special. A fabulous book that was written by my friend Jesse Farrell is a book entitled, let's see, how exactly is the title? How You Leave Them Feeling. That's the title, by Jesse Farrell, How You Leave Them Feeling. It's a great book about how to make other people feel important. So make a point to do that. Now let's start with the business invitation. How do you make somebody feel important? Well, invite them in plenty of time that they can put it on their calendar and that you've thought it out. You don't want casual last-minute invitations. Those are fine for your friends and your family, but for people outside the office, such as clients, potential customers, agents, it's wise to give sufficient notice so that they have time to prepare. And 2 weeks is considered sufficient for most people. But now, if you wish them to go out on a night, like say a Friday night or a Saturday night, when most people are already planning to go out, because Friday and Saturday nights are evenings that people go out more than during the week. So if you want them to go out with you on a Friday or Saturday night, you might want to give them 3 weeks notice just to get it on the calendar and be sure. And cocktail party invitations are seldom an excuse to go into hard sale routine. Anytime you invite somebody for cocktails or for dinner or for a social event, you don't want to start laying a hard sell routine on people. But many salespeople fall into that trap of using parties or the networking events as a selling ground. So in practice, it's actually better to build up contacts by exchanging business cards and then follow up at a later stage. You know, it's very hard to balance a glass, a plate of snacks, and still have one of your hands free so that you can make introductions, shake hands, balance your food, get out your business card. That's a very hard thing to do. I've tried it so many times, and you're balancing your plate on top of your wine glass and trying to dig in your handbag if you're a woman to get that business card. I had to learn with business cards to keep about 5 or 6 business cards in my jacket pocket, because almost always when I go to business cocktail parties or business events, I wear a jacket. So just stick 5 or 6 business cards right in your right-hand pocket, and then when you need one, it's easier to just pull it out and hand it to the person. Whether you're a man or a woman, if you've got those business cards in your pocket, it's easy. And then when they give you their card, put it in the left-hand pocket so you're not putting their cards in with your cards and getting them mixed up, because, once again, you're balancing that plate, you're balancing that glass, and you don't want to now have to sort cards to tell which ones are the incoming and which ones are your outgoing. So that's very important. It's just not good manners to have to stand there balancing everything and look like you might be a juggler or a clown at the circus. Now, choose the venue and the menu. I like that rhymes. The venue and the menu wisely. It's important. When you're going to take a business associate to lunch or to dinner, you be sure to choose wisely. Because imagine that you take a new associate to a seafood restaurant, and when you get there, you find out that this person is allergic to fish, or they don't eat it for some religious reason, and it could have been avoided if you'd have just done a little homework. So sometimes you need to find out up front, or make sure that the restaurant that you take the people to have a good selection of vegetarian meals, fish, meats, and so on, so that there's a choice and the person isn't stuck having to pick something or having to do without something because of lack of planning. And similarly, taking a casual person to an extremely upmarket restaurant can cause them to be embarrassed, because if they don't know how to behave there, or they don't know how to handle that type of restaurant, they could be very embarrassed. Some people just don't appreciate fancy food. They don't appreciate rich food, and they'd be a lot happier with a plain steak. See, more successful business partnerships are struck by ensuring that your guest's stomach is happy. That's what you want to do. Remember, keep the guests in mind. And don't take them somewhere where they have to pick through a plate full of snails or they have to attempt to appear to be polite. Ordering food and drink for somebody else is generally not a good thing. So don't pre-order. I had that happen to me. Actually, that's funny. It was in Kansas City. I had that happen to me not too long ago. The man picked me up at the hotel and we went to have dinner, and he said to me, "Now, this particular restaurant only has so many of each kind of food," so I went ahead and I ordered our dinners. He said, "And I ordered lasagna for you because they make the best lasagna in the world." Well, now, what am I going to say? He's already ordered the food. I can't very well say, "Well, I'm allergic to wheat and I don't eat dairy products." And so, I mean, here I am with this dinner with a dish that basically I don't normally eat, and I had to pretend to eat it and push it around the plate and eat my big, big salad. And so don't order food or drinks for somebody else unless you call them ahead of time and say, "This restaurant only has so many of each dish. Here's your choices for tonight. Which one would you like me to order for you?" Then you can do that. Then it's correct. The manner in which food is cooked is also a preference of the individual, and it could range anywhere between raw and overcooked, and whichever your guest chooses is probably what he or she likes. Don't criticize that. Don't tell them it would be better if they ate it a different way. If they order it that way, you let them eat it that way. That's very, very important for you not to make comments about the way the other person eats their food. Watch budgets and watch taste when you order drink. Pre-lunch or pre-dinner drinks are not considered essential, not in this day and age, because a lot of people go back to the office after lunch, and also it's a matter of safety. You don't want to start flying your guests with liquor and then they can't get back to their office. They can't because they've had too much to drink. And so it's important for you to be aware. Now, if you are going to order something and you would like to suggest wine to the person, let's say, if you're not good at making suggestions on wine, if you don't know a lot about wine, if you're not an expert on it, then you might want to ask the maitre d' in the top restaurant or the senior wine steward what wines they would recommend, or you can ask your guest whether he or she desires a particular wine. I think one of the things to do with wine, if you're not familiar, is ask the person, "Would you like red or would you like white?" They're going to pick one. "Would you like a sweeter wine or would you like dry?" They're going to pick one, and then you look at the menu and you pick a medium-priced one. Don't pick the most expensive one. Don't pick the cheapest one. Pick a medium-priced one in their preference range. And then you'll pretty much always be right. You'll be really right on. You won't be made to feel the fool, because your guests will appreciate that you asked them, did they want better white? Did they want dry or sweet? And then you just pick a medium-priced wine. And If you, as the host, find yourself in an embarrassing situation, let's say if you're at a restaurant and the food isn't very good, the wine comes and you have to send it back because it's not up to standard, or the service is bad, or let's say the restaurant's just loud and you didn't expect it to be that way, or the ambiance is not what you expected. For goodness sakes, don't ignore it. Apologize to your guests. Just very quickly, you don't make a big deal over it, but just give a quick apology and let them know that this is not what you expected and you're so sorry it turned out that way. But do not start kicking up a big scene, because scenes embarrass people and it will not endear you to your restaurant or to your guests. And so be very careful when you find yourself in that embarrassing situation that you make a point to apologize discreetly to your guests and take care of the situation as best you can. Now, when do you start talking business? You're at this business luncheon. When do you find, oh, a lot of people tell me that they just can't figure out when's the best time. They feel if they start too early during the meal, they're going to appear too pushy. But if they leave it too late, well, then the guest might feel like they're wasting his time. Or the guest might have drank too much a little already and they don't want to have that situation. So each situation really needs to be judged on its own merits. And sometimes it's better to gently veer the conversation around a business, especially when negotiations could prove to be a little difficult. Let the person get there, get settled, maybe have their drink and their salad. And if it's not an uncomfortable situation, go ahead and be direct. I think most people prefer a direct approach. And so you just want to go ahead and be honest and upfront and bring it right out into the open while you're there, to do business, because that's what business luncheons are all about. And it works particularly well over dinners, because so much of the time people want to have the dinner, they want to get the business done, and they want to get out of there and get home. During the week, some people are tired. They just want to do what they need to do and then get on home. The business associate who takes advantage of you is a person you must be very aware of and maybe steer clear of. And what I mean by that is when the guest orders the most expensive items on the menu, or they choose the most outrageously high-priced wine, well, this is the kind of person who's likely to try to pull a fast one on you in the business arena as well. And so be aware of what the person is doing. If they spend time looking at that menu and you see, oh, they picked the most expensive wine, and you said, what would you prefer? And they picked the most expensive wine there on the list, you want to be aware that this is not good. See, the person with little or no manners may do himself out of your business because they didn't have the right etiquette. And so it's important for you to have the right etiquette, because other people don't want you treating them that way either. So don't you ever pick the most expensive wine or the most expensive dish on the menu. And don't say, well, that was what I wanted. Well, it may be that you wanted the lobster that was $125, but no one expects to take someone out for a business lunch and have them spend that kind of money. So be aware, unless you're fully prepared to say, no, 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 I'm going to pick up this tab. And let's talk about business conversation. Awkward silences during business entertaining are not always easy to overcome. See, you have to remember the person hosting the meal is responsible for ensuring that everything goes smoothly and that it doesn't turn into a boring affair and that it doesn't turn into people just sitting there not knowing what to say. But be careful. Be careful. Don't try to be funny. Don't try to crack jokes when you don't know the other person well. You know, don't try to turn it into we're the best buddy kind of situation. You know, travel is a very popular topic, and you can always bring up something about places that people want to visit or that you would like to visit or that they have visited. If you know they've recently been on a trip, ask them about that. We had a fabulous business dinner last night with a gentleman who was speaking about his hobby of cooking and how much he enjoyed cooking. And he brought up several things about when he was in Australia, about cooking of bouillabaisse, and when he was grilling, he talked about how he fixed zucchinis. And it was kind of fun to hear that talk from a man, especially because I was the guest with my escort, who was actually the person doing business with him, and I was along as a guest. And I was so impressed with him because he did not ignore me. He totally included me in the conversation, and he brought up things about the food and asked what I was interested in. You see, you've got to be very careful not to ignore the spouse of the person who's with you, because very often that spouse has the power to influence the person you're trying to deal with. They have the power to influence that person about decisions on very important business deals. So you want to handle that spouse like the important people that they are. But don't embarrass your business associate by spilling all the beans on the deal to their spouse. Just include everyone, but leave those intimate details of business for that meeting maybe the next morning, or to set up a meeting at another time. You just need to be sure to have a really good time yourself. Now, I don't mean hilariously good time, but have a very nice time yourself, and be gracious and be at your best and reach out to the other person and make them feel important. And remember this, if you are invited to home or to out for a business meal, pick up the phone the next morning and call and say thank you. Just call the person and say, we really enjoyed the evening last night. Thank you so much for taking us there. You know, one of the biggest things you can do that makes a big impression is to write a handwritten note to people. It's hardly ever done anymore. Hardly ever done that people don't get a handwritten note of thank you. And let me tell you what, it is such a great sign of good etiquette, and people so appreciate getting that personal note. See, the bad manners shown by a careless person who forgets and can't be bothered to say thank you leaves a very nasty aftertaste in the mouth of the person who has taken the time and effort to do something for you. And one of the things you might want to be aware of is very often the secretary or the admin assistant is the person who selects the restaurant or takes care of the planning, or they schedule things for a visit, and it's so important for you to be sure to say thank you to that person as well. Don't be afraid to discreetly ask your host if there is someone else you should thank as well. This is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope I covered what you wanted, Ron. Thank you for listening. And readers and listeners, I'm always, always, always happy to talk about whatever you would like to hear about. Just send me an email at judy@judymorio.com. That's judy@judymorio.com. You are more than enough. Never forget.